Depression isn't just being sad. I believe it's one of those things in life that can only be understood by those who have experienced it. I'm very careful about the way I speak of depression in my own life, because we must be very careful about what we speak over ourselves. However, in this case, I felt God did want me to share some stuff from my own journey with depression. So I've battled with it for years now, but for a long time I was able to hide from the pain with various substances and habits. But eventually the conviction of those habits became unbearable, so I had to quit, which is a good thing. You know, conviction is a very good thing. Something in me knew that when I was hurting myself, I was also hurting God. And I'll go into that a little bit more in a minute. It was during and after coming clean that I fell into the deep, dark depression. There are a lot of different reasons people suffer with depression. For me, it had a lot to do with like childhood stuff and just like a lifetime of anxieties and, of course, my own sin. But for others, it could be chronic pain or stress, hormones, and, of course, spiritual affliction. I think in many cases, it's a mixture of physical and spiritual. Nonetheless, you're left with a chemical imbalance in your brain, which has some pretty rough side effects, and they make life really difficult, and that's sort of what I wanted to share on. To just give a bit of understanding to those who know someone who's suffering with depression for whatever reason, and a little reminder to those who are suffering with it that, you know, there is hope, and you're certainly not alone, even though it feels like such a lonely battle. One in four Australians will suffer with some kind of mental illness in their life. So that's astonishingly common. Like, so there will be people in this room who have battled or are battling with it. It's such a silent battle filled with shame, and it's really hard to talk about it when you're in that headspace. So when you're feeling okay, it's easy to ask for help, but when you're actually in that spot, that's the one time when you don't want to ask for it, but that's when you need it the most. So I had my love of music taken from me, my sense of humour, my personality, basically all my friends, and I became quite antisocial. With it came a severe short-term memory loss, which made work and life quite hard. There's always a fog or a block in your mind, and it's not just a little fog, it's like this disjointed feeling, and it like blurs your vision. There's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. And then it made me sick all the time, like stomach issues. But my point is, when your mind gets sick, the rest of your body gets sick too, and it's a very difficult time. But thankfully, God was very gracious in the jobs that He provided me with over the last few years. So I was able to keep working, but only by His grace. And if you want to know more about that, come and talk to me, because there's some pretty cool stories behind the jobs I've worked. Now, something to understand for those who have a loved one who is battling depression is that in those really dark moments, you cannot feel love. You can't really give it either. So if you have a loved one who's going through it, it's just as hard as if you do have it. So in those dark places, you can't give it either, because like even acts of service are very difficult. And I call it a living hell, because it genuinely feels, and the key word is feels here because it's not, but it feels like complete separation from God. Because God is love, and when severely depressed, you cannot feel His love or love of any kind. Now, coming to this church has been the first time I've been around a group of people in about 5 years, so thank you for your warm welcomes and chats. You've all made it so natural, and I haven't felt any judgment at all, just love. Nowadays, I'm improving, so I don't really... Yeah, I'm improving, but the depression comes more in like episodes. So the best way to describe what it feels like, it's like getting a face cloth and just squeezing it as hard as you can to get all the water out, but you don't know how long the squeeze is going to be for, and you don't know how long, like, yeah, it'll be for, but... And sometimes the fear of knowing that squeeze is like creeping up on you or it's just around the corner, that fear can set it off as well. So there's a lot of fear-based stuff around, you know, these depressive attacks or whatever. And I've just sort of written here like a few things. Basically what I'm saying is it's really painful. So the depressive, it's painful. I'd rather physical pain over it basically, but I can't describe it because it must be experienced. But, and this is, gets to my next point, I guess that's the thing about pain, whether it be grief or sickness or some really difficult obstacle in life, you cannot describe it to someone. It can only be understood when experienced. It's our responsibility as Christians to know that we don't always understand someone else's pain. And we need to understand that we don't understand sometimes. There is always, however, one who does. God revealed this to me when I was driving home one day after a bit of a rough time. And it was this overwhelming sense of the fact that he feels our pain. Like a lot of times we think we're like he's separate. He doesn't feel it. He knows it's there, but he doesn't feel it. But he does. He experiences it. He feels your pain. He feels my pain. No matter what it is, we're not separate from him. We are part of his body. The same God who is filled with joy and wonder for his creation is also heartbroken for it. I find that in moments where I'm the closest to God, I share in his suffering for his people. I share in his heartache for his creation. The whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8:22. The Bible is clear that in life we will be met with pain. But it is also clear that this pain is not forever. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8:18. Eternity is a hard concept to grasp. It makes our 80, 90 odd years here on earth sound so minuscule. If we can know that after this time on earth we have an eternity of goodness awaiting us, why not keep going? Why not keep trying? Because it might even get better. The Lord knows the beginning from the end. Though he knows our pain, he also knows his glory, and he welcomes us to be a part of that. We have an opportunity to comfort one another and bring hope to the world. Sometimes spreading the gospel can be in the form of sitting and crying with someone, allowing God to open your heart to the pain of somebody else. God does comfort us sometimes simply by his word, but also through the communion we share with each other. Every single person in this room has suffered in some way or another, and someone else may just have an answer or a sense of understanding into their suffering. Yet sometimes our suffering can only possibly be understood by God. He bore it all on the cross, he felt it, he knows it, and he understands it all. And let that bring you comfort, because the same God who knows your pain, he knows you, and he loves you intimately.
Like I said, who knows what God will bring us each time we do a sharing service. Is there anyone else who would like to share this morning? We have another section later if you want. Jeff?
Now, if I hold my hands in the right place, the arrow points upwards. And this was just a reminder that when we began in our Christian walk in the start of the 70s, the Jesus people had just were there, and we used to talk about one way, and we'd have signals and things on the back of the car pointing up, there's one way. And of course, we were saying Jesus was the one way. And in some ways, the service has been emotional. It's very emotional to talk about Anthony, and we've been praying in the week. And Pam said, oh, they're doing the chemo, I think, and it's B, A, C, whatever. And I did five of those, and I just thought, how difficult is it to add to what my body went through, radiation and stem therapy at the same time? I just think that's amazing. And so this is supposed to be light-hearted. This is my jovial moment to entertain the children. No. And so there's the one way. And that's all right until we realise that God wants us continually to go in the right direction. But when we look at our lives and think about it, we sometimes don't do that. We sometimes actually going in the wrong direction. And Jesus said that there's a wrong way. It's a broad way that leads to destruction, but it's a narrow way that leads to heaven. And at the end of Matthew 24, he said, in response to our beliefs and how we act, people will be found wanting and judged. But most of us actually want to go in this direction. And we're aiming, we'll all aim in this direction. But when we tell people there's a way that's going in the wrong way, people can make adjustments and they can change their life just a little bit. And it begins to, and you're going in another way, but sometimes that way isn't helpful. But other times, we make little adjustments in our life and we go in another direction. And you can see why I was worried before I got up here. And these directions aren't really what we want. So our choices, and we say to people, we have an opportunity. We don't have to keep going in the wrong direction. And I can't do it. Let me point upwards to end with. Ah, that's it. Did anyone say cat? No. Anyway, it was supposed to be a light-hearted way just to check that, A, we know that let's sing going in the right direction. Let's get all the... let's determine and work on following Jesus in every way and pointing the arrows upward. Thank you.
I actually had no intention of sharing this morning, so I'm not really 100% sure what's going to come out my mouth. Not an uncommon issue for me anyway. Yeah, family trait. I think it just, when we were listening to that song, It Is Well, that's like one of my favourite hymns, and then ties in with what Joe was saying. So I'm sure some of you know, but not everyone knows, that when I was pregnant with Ezekiel, I had severe antenatal depression, and that carried into postnatal depression after he was born. Sorry, I'm really shaking. I was married to an alcoholic in quite an abusive relationship, and we weren't really in a great space situationally, and then that kind of led to me being in a not great space mentally, and it was quite severe. Almost got sent to Perth. After Ezekiel was a couple of months old, I was actually only released from a hospital into the care of, as long as either my mum or my midwife, who was a friend of mine, could actually be with me at all times, had to be under supervision. So it was quite a severe place. There's huge chunks of time I actually don't remember. But ties into this song in that the actual original lyrics of that song are not "Thou hast taught me to say." The original lyrics he wrote are actually "Thou hast taught me to know." And I think sometimes we gain something in the change of words, but we also lose something, because there's a difference between knowing and saying. And when I was in that midst of that severe depression, I couldn't say "It is well with my soul." I couldn't say "God is good all the time." I couldn't say "Lord, I trust you." I couldn't say any of that. Like, those words could not come out my mouth. In fact, half the time, the only words that could come out my mouth were "Lord, help, help." That's it. But at my core being, I knew the truth. I knew that God was good. I knew that things were going to be okay. I knew that God was with me, even if I couldn't say it. I knew that it is well, even if I couldn't say it. And I think it's one of the reasons why it's so important that we know the truth on which we stand, that we know the foundation of our faith, that we, immerse ourselves in those foundational biblical truths, so that in those moments when we can't say, "Lord, I trust you," that we can still know it. And anyway, that's about it. Thanks.
I just want to pick up on something that Joe said. And also add to what Jana said. Phil and Kathleen, you've been going through a tough time because your son is hurting. And Jana lived with us in quite a deep hole for quite a while. And we were hurting. And maybe part of what God is saying this morning to those of us who have kids is when our kids hurt, sometimes we carry it and we cry out for God for our kids to understand his presence and to know deep in themselves. But maybe sometimes we need to surrender that to God too. And I really struggled with that when Jana was struggling. I still struggle with that for my other daughter, who also has lots of difficulties. But our foundation is that deep truth. God knows all our pain. Joe, when you were sharing, a couple of scriptures came to mind. One of them was, we comfort others with the comfort that we have been comforted with by God. And that's a ministry all of us have. The other is the truth of Scripture where Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the core. That's the stuff that's underneath when we can't speak. Thank you, Jana. And Jeff, even in the lighthearted stuff you were talking about, I mean, you've walked through some of what Anthony's walked through, and I'm sure that stirred up something in you too, and also in you, Pam. But God is good, even when we can't say it. Deb?
First time without jeans. Why are people so tall? Thank you. I'm just really encouraged with what Joe shared and Jana this morning. I don't know, most people here know about my story, but 2 years ago I had a bit of a breakdown and life just stopped. Basically, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and I fell out of fellowship with God, and I started coming back to this church, which was hard because. But I was welcomed with love too, and I was greeted with. I'm just surrounded with beautiful people now that are there for me. I'm a part of a community. I'm a part of a family, and. But I'm coming out of that. God has took me through that season, and I know that I'm coming into a new season. I know. Every area of my life is being blessed. My finances, I'm happy. I can smile again. I'm starting to take care of myself again. I'm looking forward to the future again, and I never, ever thought I would come back to that place. But then this has happened with the house, as you all know. Got 23 days, I think is today December. At the 23rd of December, we have to be out. I'm like, why now? Why now, God? Everything was working out. And I have meltdowns. I still have bad days because of this situation with the house. But most days, I'm actually fine because I'm trusting God. I know that He will never leave me, He will never forsake me. He will come through for me. My children and I will not be homeless. And there is a home there for us. And Kath and Phil, as you know, when I get down, I prayer request. You've got to put in a prayer request. But also learnt if you have to hold on to something too tight, and that's what happened with one rental property that I thought was truly of God. But towards the end, I started losing my peace about that. And you've really got to listen to your peace. I started to lose it, and that ended up falling through. But I was holding on to it so tight. I'm like, well, I'll offer you 12 months rent in advance. If I can have my dog with me, I'll give you it. Do you know what I mean? God doesn't want us begging either. So I believe that God will come through. He is never early. He is never late. I believe there's a song about that. He is testing my faith, but I know that He is for me. He has never, ever let me down. He has never let my children down. I just want to thank Joe and Jana for sharing as well about depression and anxiety, because it's very real. It's painful, but you can come out of it just through the renewing of your mind, coming to church and being around in fellowship. And, I love this little church and I love my church family, eh? So if you can you please pray for a house for us, because we really need somewhere to live. I'd love to put up a – last 2 years my depression has been so bad I didn't want to celebrate Christmas. So I went to Jana's. I was lucky enough to go there and celebrate with my church family, but I didn't want to put up a Christmas tree or anything because I didn't have the Christmas spirit. This year I actually went out and brought one, I think, even before November, and I was so excited, and now it's like I don't know where to put the tree up. Do we put it up now or when we leave? So yeah, that's where we're at. But most days I have peace. Every now and again, as past some of the elders in the church will know, I'll have a meltdown. And but yeah, so I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I wonder whether there's someone who'd be brave enough to read for us Acts 4:7-12.
Acts 4, is that right? 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved."
What I do is cable locating, so you're walking through paddocks and you've got equipment, so you've got to try. And it rained all the way, stopped at this gate and it's just sprinkling. Went to the house set up, went out in the paddock, stopped rain. Didn't rain at all. Driving back, it was raining all the way from Boyertbrook to Collie. And I thought, isn't that somewhat like life is? You plan things well, you have good intentions, and you mess it up. But in the long run, God sorts it out for you.
Phil? Some time ago, and it's been really blessing me. I have been unreachable. I've been unteachable. I've been unwilling. I've been undesirable. Sometimes I have been unwise and been undone by what I've been unsure of. But because of you and all that you went through, I know that I have never been unloved. Unaware that I've been unfair, I've been unfit for blessings from above. But even I can see the sacrifice you made for me shows me that I have never been unloved.